For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
I just hate when we continue to live and die by the three. And the same shit happened in the third quarter. Or the fourth quarter, we go in 87-87 all, and then we settle for like three or four straight threes, and then the Knicks responded with like four or five straight baskets.
Well, it's a tale of two games. Just like the last game, we won shooting under 30% from three, and we won with defense. This game, we were kind of an offensive juggernaut in the first half, and you know, by the end of the game, we're still shooting over 40%. Seven players are in double figures. It almost doesn't even make sense, but that's just how it goes sometimes.
But it doesn't matter who the fuck's playing. Go in there, do what you can, try to get a win. Because, yeah, we obviously are only now a half game like ahead of the Lakers, which is insane to me. So, yeah, just a disappointing loss tonight all around.
Welcome to the Sports Ethos Kings cast. It's Daily. Joined by my co-pilot, Liz. How are you?
What's up, y'all?
Here we go. First quarter, shout out Keon getting the steal up. Brunson, Kings guards, punch in seven threes out of eight attempts. Kings force a 24-second violation. My goodness, it was beautiful to see. Second quarter, shout out Alex Len with an excellent closeout on Bojan Bogdanovic. He harasses Bojan for the turnover. The Kings bench is hyped for it. It was amazing to see. Lyles makes two tough end ones. Kings up 21, 46-25.
I mean, it's disappointing because it was such a good half. And then obviously we know how the game ends. But, you know, I like that they came out aggressive. You know, I felt like Fox was getting to his spots early. You know, Keon was playing defense. Davion came off the bench, you know, was hitting some nice shots. You know, same with Keon. He was hitting some good shots early. You know, Fox got cooking in that first quarter. I think he had 11 in the first quarter. Sabonis just doing what he does in, you know, the first half, you know, almost a triple-double, or at least halfway to that point. But yeah, they were, you know, they were getting the ball moving. They were, you know, they had the pace. They were picking up the pace, you know, running the ball up and down the floor. So I definitely thought, you know, the Knicks were struggling with that. Defensively, you know, they were blitzing Brunson, you know, which had him, you know, having to pass out of that. So I thought the defensive side of the ball was really great too. You know, at one point we got up, I think the largest lead was 21 points. But then they were able to get it down, you know, to eight, which I figured was going to happen. You know, usually like in today's NBA, you don't keep big leads like that. Like teams are going to go on runs. They're going to do their adjustments and things like that. So, yeah, overall, I thought it was a really good half, despite, you know, some carelessness with the ball, some stupid little turnovers, but I liked how they had the ball moving. Everyone was contributing, coming in off the bench, the starters, unfortunately, besides Harrison Barnes, he did not have a good night at all tonight, but, most everyone, you know, contributed in that first half.
Absolutely. I think we had six or seven players in double figures, in the first half. It was beautiful offense, 65% from the field, 56% from three. They held the Knicks to only four three-pointers out of 15 attempts. And, you know, it could have been both cold shooting on the Knicks' part, and the Kings defense as well on the perimeter. But yeah, they really held down the first half. Unfortunately, it did not last. And hopefully this is just a lesson to them on maintaining their defensive pressure in the second half. And shout out to the Knicks for adjusting. Third quarter, Sasha and Lyles punch in threes. Kings responding to every Knicks run until they didn't. Fox, it's a step back three to tie it up. 87 all. Fourth quarter, Fox bangs in a three with McBride draped on him. Shout out to Keegan on defense for drawing a charge on Josh Hart. Kings go on a run, and that's all she wrote. Knicks win. Liz, thoughts?
The frustrating thing is we shot, I believe it was like 57% from the three in the first half. Obviously, you're not most likely you're not going to sustain that type of shooting percentage throughout the entire game. Like, if you do, then you're just on an absolute heater and you're most likely going to win the game. But that wasn't the case for the Kings. The frustrating thing for me is in the third quarter, they got the Knicks in foul trouble and they were in the bonus with like 42 left or something like that. And yet again, we continue to just try to live and die by the three. Like, be aggressive, go to the basket like you guys were doing in the first half. Like, they were running you off the three-point line. You were doing your pump fakes. You were getting to the basket. Lyles had a nice couple drives. Keegan has a nice couple, like, you know, one-handed, like, little floaters that he was doing. Like, I don't understand why we go away from shit like that, especially when you're in foul trouble. Like, Fox, get to the damn basket. Like, yes, he was making his threes for the most part. But, like, what are we doing? Like, we have them in foul trouble. That's perfect. Yes, we struggle from the free throw line tonight as well. But still, like, get to the freaking basket. Get your foul shots. Like, do what you need to do to continue being aggressive. Stop fucking, like, settling for threes. It literally, like, hurts my brain watching that sometimes because I'm like, there's no, like, they don't really have a shot blocker. Like, if we, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't consider Hartenstein or Mitchell Robinson necessarily shot blockers. Like, get in, drive in. They have to come over and help, and then you can dish it. Like, I liked what kind of Lyles and Alex Lynn did for, like, a couple possessions. He got the connection on one, and then the pass was, like, way too low for Alex Lynn to even grab on the second one, so it went out of bounds. But I just hate when we continue to live and die by the three. And the same shit happened in the third quarter, or the fourth quarter. We go in 87-87 all, and then we settled for like three or four straight threes, and then the Knicks responded with like four or five straight baskets, and I think at one point they had nine straight baskets. Like, that was the game right there. Like, you settle for these threes and you get yourself in so much trouble that you get into this deficit, and then now you were kind of forced to live and die by the three, and then when you're not hitting them, you kind of just screw yourself. So that's the frustrating part. This game was very winnable tonight. Honestly, yes, like, shout out to the Knicks. I mean, they played an incredible game, and like, Brunson, Hart, even Hartenstein had some really nice passes with his assists and everything. And then DiVincenzo, like, they all had great games, but a majority of it was us shooting ourselves in the foot. Stupid turnovers, like, just dumb turnovers, and just continuing to go away from what's working and then not making those adjustments in the second half. So, I mean, regardless of stats tonight, everyone had a bad second half. I don't care what anyone says. Like, it was just all around terrible. But you got to fucking put this one down the damn toilet, and you got to get ready because you go to Boston tomorrow. And I would say that's a must-win game tomorrow. I mean, figure out a way to do it. Like I said, like, right before we went into the All-Star break, we went to Denver, and I felt like that was kind of a must-win game because we were on, I think, like a three or four game, like, losing streak. Like, figure out whatever way, dig out from within. Everyone needs to step the hell up tomorrow, go into Boston and try to get a win. We don't know who's playing tomorrow because they've already locked up the number one seed overall, and they've already locked up, like, home field advantage through the playoffs and NBA finals. So, like, necessarily they could start kind of resting guys, which it seems like, I believe I saw Derek White and Jaylen Brown on the injury report for tomorrow, but it doesn't matter who the fuck's playing. Go in there, do what you can, try to get a win. Because yeah, we obviously are only now a half game, like, ahead of the Lakers, which is insane to me. So yeah, just a disappointing loss tonight all around.
Yeah, 100%. Shout out to the Knicks for adjusting. at the half, and then shooting 50% from three in the second half, if not more. What can you say? They made adjustments. I don't feel like we did. And that's the disappointing part about it. We didn't go back to our bread and butter. A lot of handoff action between De'Aaron and Domas, like at the very top of the key instead of a little lower at the corner. It was just really strange. They really couldn't get anything good off of that. We just looked different. And they affected us with their defense, and we couldn't get anything going. It is what it is. We are going to open up the mics. And like you say, Liz, on to the next.
Yeah, just it sucks because I feel like it would have been better to win tonight and then you could lose tomorrow. But I feel like now you have to win. You have to win tomorrow. Like, you just have to find a way. I mean, you have to, like, worst case scenario is you're going to end up in the ninth and you're matching up against the fucking Warriors. And that would just terrify the shit out of me because we all know what happened in game seven against Steph. So, you know, that and probably the refs are going to pull some ho shit because they want the Warriors in the playoffs and not the fucking Kings. So, yeah, it just, whatever they can do, dig deep, dig within, they're going to be tired. Which also, I don't understand the scheduling in this. Tell me why the fuck the NBA, like, we play in New York tonight and then we have to go to Boston tomorrow, which, like, it's not that far to, like, go from New York to Boston. But, like, we play the fucking Nets on Sunday. Like, why are we not playing the Nets tomorrow and then the Boston's? Like, that is the weirdest shit to me. Like, I feel like the scheduling is backwards in that one, but to each their fucking own. I swear, the NBA hates Sacramento.
Oh, we already know that. It is what it is. But thanks, Liz. David and then Julie. David, how are you?
I'm all right. Yeah, I think, well, like a lot of people have already said that, like, this game really kind of shifted, especially when we started having all those turnovers and just those two, like, transition take fouls that weren't called transition take fouls for some weird reason. I think really just that and, like, the other stuff just kind of, we started playing the Knicks game as the game went on, kind of like the last time we played the Knicks, which kind of sucks. We got into playing, like, their game instead of us playing our game. So that sucked. To me, I see, like, you know, obviously, hopefully we can beat Boston tomorrow. We'll see how many guys are resting or what they're doing. I wouldn't be surprised if they're resting guys or at least playing guys minimum minutes. And obviously, you know, Boston's going to lose a few games down the stretch and they're not too worried about it at this point. So if you go out if you're playing more intense, you're going to have a good shot at stealing that one. At, like, the end of the day, like, my mind is that on this road trip, you wanted to win at least, like, two and then hopefully take the last two of the last three games. So you get around 48 wins, which I think would be enough to be somewhere in that 7-6 spot, somewhere in one of those two spots, which, because I think that there's a few teams I'm not convinced will get to 48. So if you can get to that number, that's what I'm looking at. It would have been nice to win this one because it would have given you a little bit more room instead of having to steal, you know, instead of having to just do, like, the last two. But yeah, the guys they ended up playing the Knicks game. The officiating was really just weird, but that happened last time we played the Knicks. And, like, at the end of the day, a lot of this was just self-inflicted. I think Elizabeth is right in the sense that there was a lot of taking too many threes. Like, on one hand, the Knicks were leaving us very wide open, especially in the latter part of the fourth, but there was a reason they were leaving us very wide open. And so I think that sometimes that the guys, especially when they have a hot start and when they're doing those kind of, they were still doing the break in the paint spray threes, they get a little too 3-point happy instead of looking to take the shot that they might already have. But yeah, like, obviously it sucks to lose this game. Luckily they've got three games on this road trip left. You want to get at least two of those and then go home and hopefully get two, at least, if not all three of your home games. And then see where we end up, either 6, 7, or 8, probably somewhere in that, I think, range. So,
yeah, there's still enough games for something to happen. If not, it is what it is. Season's not over. Thank you, David. Appreciate you, man. Julie, how are you?
Without the ones like you who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Hi, I have no profound commentary. I'm just, it's days like this. I'm like, I miss Malik Monk on the floor. It's like, yeah, we had what, like 6-7 players with double digits on points.
Julie, we usually win these games.
I know.
We had seven guys in double figures. We shot more than 40% from three. What the hell?
I know. And then watching the fourth, I'm just like, I think we hit at one point maybe like 10 threes in a row. We just absolutely missed. And I'm just like, I'm tired. I'm so tired. We're at the end. Just, I mean, like I said, go next, but every win we need. I'm not expecting too much tomorrow, but we'll see. I always say that, and then they do something crazy to prove me wrong. And I love when they do that, but I'm just like, I don't know.
Now, Julie, you have to protect your mental health.
I know.
I do the mental gymnastics all the time. And I just like, I take it as is. I have to go super zen about it and accept things as they are, which is why I always say, it's like, did we really expect this team to be a 60-win team? Did we really expect this team to be a championship team? Which is why I go out of my way to talk about all these different championship builds and how it takes time and we have to zoom out. It doesn't mean it doesn't hurt though, right?
Oh yeah, no, it always hurts. And it's just like, that's why also now I have the Stockton game up right now and I'm watching them play and I'm just like, I'm gonna go look at a team that's probably not gonna break my heart today.
You have to do that and go Lindsey Harding. Did you ever make it to Stockton this season?
I didn't, but I was at the two Stockton games that we had at G1C this year, and okay. Those were good because they had very solid games when they were playing at Golden One Center. Kobe Jones went off like crazy the last time they played at Golden One, but he's on the road with Sack, so
exactly. I mean, I guess the Kings playoffs are a little more important, right? Than
yeah.
But I thought about that. I was like, oh, I'm pretty sure they would win with Colby in there because they usually do. But yeah, I guess it's better to have him with the varsity club, so to speak.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't think I'll ever push the panic button for this season, just because it's been so strange and you just got to accept things as they are. But, you know, I'm already like preparing myself, you know, if we end up in the play-in and how stressful that's going to be. And you just, you know, we can't give up hope, I guess.
Yeah. And I mean, play-ins are single elim. And I don't want to see the Pelicans again. I'm so tired of seeing the Pelicans this year.
Yeah. If that's the case, I mean, let that be our storybook ending for this season. Let us get them once where it really counts. That would just cap the season. Not that the season would be over, right, because we'd advance, but that would be amazing if we could actually just beat them one time.
I know, but they're our next home game on Thursday, and I really don't want to see them again. I can't. That'll be what, if we see them in play-ins, that'll be six times this season we've seen them.
Yeah.
And I'm not in the mood to get whooped six games.
Oh, and it's on national TV too. Damn it.
Yes, it is.
And I hate that. You know, this is another Harrison Barnes goose egg, and it's like his haters come out in droves, and I have to hear Harrison Barnes slander for the next 24 hours. And it's really tough because he's actually been decent, right?
I think. Yeah, I'll give HB that. He's been a lot more decent, but I think the season as a whole, I've been really disappointed that not just him, if it's not him, it's, or was Kevin was still in. I've seen too many starter goose eggs, and I'm like, why are we doing this? What are we doing?
Yeah, and that's why, I know, certain things were a blessing. I really like Keon Ellis in the starting lineup. I really do. Because even if he may have a stat line of 4 points but 3 steals, and then he impacts so much on defense that we don't see in the box score, right? So I think it's a blessing in disguise. I like the fact that we have this newish identity of being a defensive team. You know, it didn't show tonight in the second half, but I'll take it. I really will. I'm kind of excited if this is who they are.
That's fair.
Like I said, mental gymnastics. what can I say? But I appreciate you calling, as always. And yeah, I you know, this is getting in the way of my wrestling too. It's like, I want to watch wrestling. I want to watch women's basketball. I want to watch the Stockton Kings. So, oh well. Thank you, Julie. Appreciate it. Guys, feel free to request. Mics are open before we close up shop. Liz, any other insights, comments?
No, I'm just looking at the schedule for the rest of the teams. I just, like, damn, we still have another back-to-back. We got the Pelicans and the Suns on a back-to-back next week. I mean, they really I mean, the Suns have a brutal stretch because they play, I think, their final games, like, they're all playoff teams.
Yeah, they play the Clippers twice.
Yeah, the fact that we have a back-to-back is insanity next week, too. Like,
There's no rest for this team.
No, and that's why it's probably more important they get out of this play-in situation if they can, because, I mean, we finish the season on April 14th, and then the play-in starts on the 16th, I believe. So, we probably wouldn't play till the 17th, I would hope, if we're in the play-in situation. But still, that doesn't give you much room for, you know, rest. And especially if you have to travel. Just very brutal to end the season. But, I mean, if they can somehow... rest game
at all.
No.
Because, yeah, we have beaten Brooklyn and OKC before.
Yeah.
But it's on the road. And so you never know what happens. So I think both games, I definitely OKC is probably going to be favored. The Nets, we're probably favored a little bit. I'd have to look at the Vegas odds, but still, that's still going to be tough. And then we have that back-to-back, as you said, Thursday, Friday with the Pels and the Suns, and we know how that's going to go. They're both going to be difficult humps to get over. And then, yeah, I wouldn't blame Portland for trying to play spoiler on our last game. They're going to play their home. Why wouldn't they?
I mean, it's gonna get ugly. I mean, every team pretty much, like, in the play-in situation, like, all has a difficult schedule. Like, you got the Lakers, they play the Cavs Saturday, and then they play the Timberwolves Sunday on a back-to-back, which no one in the West is going to be resting starters because everyone is vying for positioning. Like, you have the top three seeds are all fighting for the top, you know, the overall number one overall seed. So you have those three teams going to be kind of going at it because it's changing like every night with those three teams. And then you have basically four through, you know, I would say eight trying to fight for the, you know, fourth, fifth, and sixth. Probably the fourth is probably secure, I would say, unless the Clippers just like lose like out. But the fifth and the sixth seed are definitely, you know, up in the air. In regards to like the Pelicans, the Mavs, now the Suns are kind of in the mix. Potentially we could be in the mix depending on how it goes. So everyone's going to be playing at their full potential. So that's like the crazy part of the West because like someone mentioned it, I can't remember what I was listening to, but like if we were in the East with the record we have now, I think we'd be either fifth seed and like tied for like the fourth, like before tonight's game happened. I don't know what it would look like. But that's just crazy to me. Like, we are literally the eighth seed, and that just goes to show how dominant the Western Conference is. Like, just how much better the teams are, how much more depth all these teams have. Like, it just goes to show the competition is insane. So it's gonna be a wild ride this next week. It might be bumpy, but, you know, we're going to have a play-in game, for at least for sure. Like, with Houston losing tonight, like, unless we absolutely – lose every game and then they win every game, you know, I will be okay. But yeah, it's just stinks when you have games like tonight where you kind of shoot yourself in the foot in regards to, you know, a win or loss. But you know, if they win tomorrow, then it makes it all right, you know, for at least the day. And then you have to face, you know, Brooklyn on Sunday. But yeah, every game's going to matter and every game's going to count. So, and I know these guys are ready. You know, it goes to show, you know, with how they were performing, you know, against the Clippers on, what was that, Tuesday? You know, and then tonight, especially, you know, during at least the first, you know, three quarters. But unfortunately, we just started settling for shots and things like that. So just stupid self-inflicted wounds. I thought the coaching was not great tonight at all. I just all around, I think everyone had a really bad game. So they just have to dust it off and, you know, hopefully get a win tomorrow.
But we do this all the time, though. We always lay an egg or we have a poor performance. And then the next game, we look like a championship caliber team. So I don't know when that's going to happen. It could be against, it's most likely going to happen against the Nets and the Thunder. Maybe it happens tomorrow where they just turn on the switch for some reason. It's always after a longer flight where they kind of play like hoes, so to speak, and then they take a shorter flight and ball out. It's strange. So, yeah, if anything, it's this team's inconsistency that has shot them in the foot, as you say. So, yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, I wonder, too. I think I saw that we haven't won in Boston since 2019. So that would be going, you know, almost on 5 years. I mean, we broke two other streaks this year in regards to beating the Bucks. Because we hadn't beat the Bucks in a long time. You know, we beat the Sixers. That hadn't happened in a while. So maybe it's the season of streak breaking for us. And, you know, maybe that just means we might get a win tomorrow. Yeah, so that just means maybe we might get a win in Boston tomorrow for the first time in, yeah, you know, 5 years. So.
And I don't mind an asterisk next to that win. I could care less. A win is a win. I don't care if Jalen Brown, Porzingis, and Tatum are out.
Or yeah, White, no, at this point, a win is a win. I don't care. I don't care if they sit their whole entire starting five. And, like, I don't care if we're playing their G League team. Well, because especially, like, when we play teams that, you know, are – lesser in competition, we seem to play down to a lot of their level. So, I mean, if Tatum's still playing tomorrow night, if Porzingis is still playing tomorrow night, that's fine because Porzingis like cooked us last time.
Yeah, so he was everything for them.
Yeah, so hopefully we can make the adjustment. And I don't think he's fully healthy either. He's been dealing, I think, with the knee and like the ankle issues and stuff. So, I mean, if we can somehow adjust, you know, with that, you know, now having obviously Keon in the lineup. More consistently, because I don't even think he played a lot last time we played them, unless it was like towards the end since it was a blowout. But yeah, I mean, hopefully they make those adjustments in regards to, you know, Porzingis and things like that. So I'm excited for it. You know, hopefully these guys just get the rest that they need, you know, and at least go out there and compete and not get blown the fuck out, at least by like 50 or something, because I think that's what happened last season we were in Boston. We lost by like 50. So yeah,
that was bad. And
please don't let that happen again.
Even before the blowout happened, their announcers were already being disrespectful. And then it just got worse. You know, comments like, oh, a lot of people compare Sabonis to Jokic. I just don't see it. Like,
yeah, no one. Like, that's the thing is, like, people try to have that conversation. And I'm like, you can't put, like, I love Sabonis, obviously, but like, they can't even fit in the same sentence. Like, Jokic is Jokic, and, you know, then you have Sabonis. But, like, there's no comparison to them. Like, they both have different games. And, you know, obviously Jokic is going to be a Hall of Famer when it's all fucking said and done. So, yeah, the announcers, that's what, like, pissed me off tonight. And that's why I'm so grateful for, like, our broadcast team. Because, like, I tuned into, like, the pregame, like, TNT pregame. Holy fucking shit. They were so awful. Like, the fact that they had Baron Davis and Jamal Crawford, and they were like, oh, do they still light the beam? Like, are you not paying attention, like, at all? Do you not do, like, at least, like, a little bit of ounce of research when you were going into, you know, a position like that? Like, I get you guys have, like, probably a bunch of different shit going on, but, like, you can't even still realize, like, what they were like, oh, the Kings have been so bad defensively. I'm like, actually, like, since, like, the whole entire month of March, like, we've actually stepped it on up on defense. Like, I think we were ranked, like, overall fifth in the month of March, like, 17th for the season. But, like, do your homework if you're going to say like shit like that. Like, it's absolutely like sports journalism malpractice when these guys don't do their fucking homework. And then Shaq was like DeAndre Fox. Like, what?
So bad.
I was like,
I'm surprised that wasn't trending.
Yeah, I'm like, this is so bad. So that's why I appreciate when we have like the pre and post game, you know, with like Kyle and Morgan, or Kyle, you know, or Morgan and Mike, and, you know, even freaking Chelsea Gray. Like, it makes me so much more thankful, because even Chelsea Gray, she comes in and she still knows what she's talking about more than any of these doofuses. So it's like, oh my God, it drives me absolutely fucking insane sometimes. So I'm thankful for Kyle and Katie and Mark. Like, obviously they do their fucking homework. They know their shit. And I know some people hate on them, but no, like, listening to other broadcasts, it like literally makes my fucking ears bleed sometimes, especially the Warriors. It makes me want to like just watch the game.
They're absolutely the worst. This whole month, though, I've been listening to the opposing team's broadcasts. There's a lot of good broadcast teams out there.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts, so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
There is for sure. But
it was hilarious, though, tonight. Once Shaq said DeAndre Fox, I forgot who it was, but they said, is this who we play for? So I thought that was hilarious.
It just, God. And like the fact that they were saying too, like, yes, obviously like the hype around the Kings hasn't like been as high. And like, yes, we've had some disappointing losses, but they were like acting like we like went from like, you know, like really, really good to like complete ass. And I'm like, that's not the case. Like, one, the West got better, and two, a majority of the West was actually really healthy, considering like, you know, your top teams in, you know, Minnesota, Denver, OKC, the Clippers have been pretty healthy for the majority of the season, besides until now with Kawhi being out. So it's like everyone's kind of been healthy, you know, in regards to, like, even the Phoenix Suns, I guess Bradley Beal missed a majority, but you still have KD and Devin Booker that are like playing a majority of games. So obviously those two, along with their other players, they're going to win some games. So it was just like weird to me that they were like basically acting like we went like from being what we were last year to basically being like complete fucking shit. I'm like, that's not the case. Like, we're still a really good team, and but everyone else also got better. Like, both can be true. So it just, like, they just are terrible sometimes. I just can't stand listening to some of these guys because they have the worst takes out of like anything. It's so bad.
And most of it is just lack of information. You know, nobody watches us. So,
but that's the thing. At least like do your homework. Like, you know, it takes like 5 seconds.
Yeah, Kevin Harlan was what did great tonight, I thought.
No, he did.
Said all the Kings narratives. And I thought that was great. Sandvin Gundy, whatever, you know what I mean? You could tell he wanted the Knicks to win. Especially when the Kings, all the guards started shooting all those threes in the first quarter. He almost seemed kind of upset. He was like, oh, another one from Keon Ellis. It's like, yeah, we know who you want to win.
Yeah, no, their broadcast crew is not as bad. But just, yeah, the pregame TNT crew was just, it was so bad. I was like, oh my God, like, I can't even listen to this malpractice. I just feel like it's just, it does a disservice, I feel like, to NBA fans. You know, especially when you're a fan of the team, listening to the narratives that they're pushing, it just is weird to me. And like I said, like, I mean, Shaq tends to give the Kings like more love, but yeah, when he said DeAndre, and I mean, it's mistakes happen, you know, things like that.
Well, he does it to everybody, though.
But yeah, I mean, he doesn't know freaking name. Like, he doesn't even know half the names in the fucking NBA. So, but that's the thing. It's like, if you're going to put these guys on shows like that, they have to at least, like, know something, like, some part of the game, because it's not just the Kings they do it to. They do it to other teams, too. So it's like, just do a little bit of research before you do what you're supposed to do, because it doesn't take that much just to, like, kind of tune in for a second. I get they have busy, crazy schedules, but like, come on, you just make yourself look stupid when you fucking talk.
So are you basically, you've accepted the fact that we might be in the play-in and you're okay with it? I'm okay with it. It is what it is.
I mean, yeah, I was figuring that scenario was probably going to happen. But I would be a little nervous if we somehow slipped down to 9 or 10. I don't think we'll slip to 10 because I think we still have like a 2.5 lead over the Warriors. The ninth spot, I mean, obviously we'd get a home game. I would prefer to like be 7 or 8 because then at least like if you lose, you get a second game because then you play the winner of the 9-10. But if we slip to the 9, I think I'd be a little worried, especially if we're playing the Warriors because we all know how that goes. So,
yeah, they always play us well. Yeah, I mean, I would just hate for us to get bounced after one.
Yeah, game. I think if
that would suck.
I think, well, just like long term and like, you know, obviously, like we really need that pick to convey the Kevin Herter pick. So I feel like it would, in a sense, kind of be a failure of the season if that happened. I mean, yes, we had the injuries and everything, but like other teams have injuries too. And we have guys that can absolutely step up. So in a sense, I would feel like the season is a little bit of a failure if they can't even get into the playoffs, but we're just gonna have to wait and see what happens. I'm not gonna go down that road just yet.
I think
yet.
That's fair. That's fair. If we don't make the playoffs, the season would be considered a failure.
Yeah, just in terms to long term, yeah, you know,
well,
like
I think
plans as well.
For short term, I think it's a failure. Long term, yeah. It is what it is. I mean, all the builds that I've talked about and the builds that are out there, they've all struggled. Either they got bounced in the first round or didn't make the playoffs as well. It happens. Doesn't mean I like it though, right? So
yeah, just hurts in regards to that pick because it won't convey, and then yeah, it just kind of straps us in regards to like what we can if we do want to trade picks for a potential star player, whatever we want to do. I mean, that kind of just hurts in that regards, but that's why I kind of feel like Monty wasn't as, forceful this offseason, and he was like willing to just kind of see how everything unfolded, and then obviously like re-signed Harrison Barnes because that is a very friendly contract compared to like a Kyle Kuzma or a Jeremy Grant, like things like that. So yeah, it'll be very interesting, but I'm confident that this team can stay at least within the 7th or 8th and then just have to battle it out, and hopefully if it is the damn Pelicans, hopefully we can freaking figure it out.
The thing is, if we get past the Pelicans, I honestly don't have a problem facing any of those top three seeds.
No, not at all.
I understand
I'm not
the Nuggets can totally turn it on and sweep us. And yeah. I can totally accept that because it's the fucking Nuggets. But I really like our chances against the T-Wolves and the Thunder. I really do. I'm not saying we could beat them easily, but I like our chances. I think we're formidable against them. With the Nuggets, it's kind of in limbo for me just because I do know how they could turn it on. And, they could either take us to 7 or just sweep us. That's how I see it. So we'll see. It's just getting past these lower seeded teams that I fear more than the top seeded teams. It's so strange. And we know, the Pelicans killed us every game this year. The Suns, I do not sweat, but the Lakers and Warriors, I really do, just because, they have those vets that could turn it on and drop 50 on us for just one game and bounce us out. And I've already thought about all the scenarios, and that's what I do. I just think of all the possible bad outcomes before I think about the good outcomes, and we'll see what happens.
Yeah, and regardless, of what happens, it's gonna either be really fun or it's gonna be heartbreaking. So I've kind of prepared myself for a little bit of both because this team has done it many, many times over, my fandom of almost 30 years. So I think I think I'm prepared for, you know, even more heartbreak, unfortunately, but yeah.
Yeah. And then, I don't know if you guys follow, Mike's here. He's in here. His crew, Beam Don't Lie. They got the Stockton Kings game up on playback. If you want to check them out, you know, so that's happening. And yeah, we'll just have to see. Again, zoom out. Yeah, it does suck. I'm not going to tell you not to feel bad, but all you got to do is zoom out. There's a big picture happening here, and we know how this season has been. We shouldn't expect anything more than what this season has been given us, because it's been crazy all year. So we'll just have to see. That's it. Nothing profound for me either, you know?
Yeah. I was just really wanting that win tonight. I mean,
well, especially them coming out like at a bat out of hell. Bad analogy, I know. They came out blazing, right? And then, you know, they just folded. And it's unfortunate. But then again, the Knicks are like that. So what can you say?
No, they are. But I just sometimes it's just frustrating when you feel like you shoot your own self in the foot. You know what I mean? And like, I feel like there was just too many carelessness turnovers. And then we were letting them get, because like, I felt like we defended the paint so well on Tuesday against the Clippers. And then to basically like give all of Josh's Hart's like 30 points, like literally at the basket, was freaking frustrating. He absolutely kills it. Like, I love Josh Hart's game. But it's just like self-inflicted wounds, like, absolutely drive me insane. I'm like, when a team, if a team goes nuclear and you do all you can do, that is what it is. But when you're shooting yourself in the foot, that's when it's like, God, like, why? Like, just don't do that shit. Like, come on. But
yeah, well, it's a tale of two games. Just like the last game, we won shooting under 30% from three, and we won with defense. This game, we were kind of an offensive juggernaut in the first half. And, you know, by the end of the game, we're still shooting over 40%. Seven players are in double figures. It almost doesn't even make sense, but that's just how it goes sometimes.
Yeah.
Let's get out of here. You guys are the best, man. Here after a shitty loss on a Thursday night, we appreciate it. We'll be back tomorrow if they win. Good day, good night, and light the beam.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.